Imagine going through every item you've accumulated in the last 30 or 40 years of your life, more or less, depending on your age. That could take a lot of time. It's easy to get bogged down in just trying to clean one room. But that's what many older adults need to do as they grow older and maybe move to a smaller house and downsize along the way. And if it's not the older adult doing it, the job often falls to a close friend or family member. Last month, we talked to Adam Minter, author of the book Secondhand: Travels in the New Global Garage Sale. He told us how going through his own mother's things sparked the idea for his book.
It's sort of the second period of mourning that those of us who live in consumer societies encounter. After your parent is gone or your loved one or your friend, you are left with that material legacy. These things that may have mattered to your relative, but don't necessarily matter that much to you. And we reach the end of this process of cleaning out my mother's home and cleaning stuff out of garages of relatives where she had left stuff. And we found ourselves staring at her china, saying to each other, "You take it. No, you take it. No, you take it."
If that sounds familiar to you, we have two guests with us to make things a little easier. Joe Fishman is the owner of Empty the Nest, a Minnesota-based company that offers home cleanouts for people who are transitioning to new spaces, for new stages in their lives. They focus on minimizing waste and maximizing reuse, which they do in part with a vintage-focused thrift store. Joe, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Rob.
And Marianne,
pleasure to be here.
And Marianne Garidi is in the studio with me. She's president and owner of Moving Forward, a company focused on helping seniors downsize based in Dane County. Marianne's also a certified senior move manager. Marianne, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, in our lifetimes, we get a lot of stuff. Can you talk a little bit about what you've observed in your work when people start to make those decisions of what they have to get rid of when they move to a smaller space? Marianne, let's start with you.
Okay, sure. So yeah, it's really tough. And lots of times when I first meet with my clients to do a new client visit, basically they're just super overwhelmed and they don't know where to start. And often they will say that, you know, we have so much to go through, I may not even be able to move for another 6 months yet. And so our goal is just to kind of break it apart and go room by room with them, kind of discuss what they really love the most and what will fit into their new space, and just kind of go through that downsizing process, really almost, you know, again, walking through the whole system with them just to take away that stress and make it much easier on the clients and then their family members.
And Joe, it sounds like it's a logistical process and it's an emotional process at the same time. How do those two get in the way of each other sometimes?
It's a very emotional process. Oftentimes we'll come in after a company like Marianne does the downsizing and we'll take a look at what's left. And oftentimes the family or whomever has a hard time looking at that and letting go of it. And a lot of our people, when we're dealing with the clients, are very good at, working with them and talking with them about one of the things that we're able to do, especially with the prized possessions they've got, is we repurpose it through our thrift store, is it gets a second life. So they know it's not being tossed. And oftentimes that emotional piece will lay to rest a lot of the burden that they have on getting rid of it.
Marianne, I think a lot of people are in that situation and they want to give that stuff to a loved one. They're hoping that that loved one will cherish that good. The loved ones may not necessarily want it. How can we, I guess, let go of that hope when clearly nobody wants to take the stuff?
Sure. And it's definitely something that we come across, like especially things that are really important that's been in the family for a long time. And so as we're working through discussing with our clients that your daughter may not want the hutch or the dining room set, she might actually want a small, something small, like just a piece of jewelry or something smaller rather than these big furniture items that family members want to give. And so we sometimes recommend to our clients that they could just take a picture and journal about the item and then let it go. And even if it doesn't go to a family member, it still would be going to somebody who can either buy it from them or, still use it. It just may not go to the specific person.
And Joe, when you can take something like that and get into a thrift store situation, say, does that at least make people feel better that, like, okay, maybe my son or daughter is going to use it, but it's going to find a new life somewhere?
Oh, absolutely. I think oftentimes the fact that they know it's not ending up in the landfill does set their mind at ease as well. I mean, Marianne talked about journaling about a piece. Oftentimes when there is a significant piece, we'll have our clients do the very same thing, and we'll attach kind of an origin story with the item in the thrift store. So whoever's looking at it in the thrift store gets to be part of the journey of that item. So it really comes full circle, and it's a really nice process.
We're talking about downsizing when we move from one place to another, often something we do when we're older. Our guests have advice for the person moving and their close family members and friends who might be helping with the job. Marianne Garidi is with us from Moving Forward in Dane County. Joe Fishman from Empty the Nest in Minnesota. Joe, I know you try to minimize waste in the stuff that people get rid of, but that can be hard. I mean, I personally know I've ended up with stuff over my life that nobody else is going to want and nobody has a use for. How can we minimize waste in that situation?
Well, there is going to be, in almost every situation, an amount that is going into the landfill. But what we do is we take the things that are resellable that people want. And the good news is the demographics are the younger generations, the 18 to 30-year-olds, are very much into thrifting and buying things that have been used. So there is a huge demand for China, like Adam had mentioned, as well as furniture and other things. So we're seeing a real demand at the lower end like that, including books. What we'll do is we will get records to a secondhand record store. We'll get the books to a secondhand bookstore. We work with a number of local charities in Minneapolis, St. Paul here, Bridging, Salvation Army, to name just a couple, on the items that don't sell in the thrift store. So what we do is we try to take as many pieces as we can and get them into the hands of people who can use them before we would have to resort to tossing something or putting it in the landfill.
Marianne, I understand that part of the work you do is to help a person, say that senior, settle into their new home environment, whatever that might be. What can you do to make that feel as home-like as possible and maybe get a couple of ingredients from their previous space in there to make it feel more like home?
Sure. And actually, what we do lots of times is just try to recreate the space. And so before we start the downsizing process, we kind of like to go through and kind of identify the areas where the clients seem to spend the most time. So either a kitchen table or maybe a living room chair. And then they often have like areas like pictures hung a certain way. And so we kind of try to pick pictures of how they have their home set up. And then at the end of our move day, actually, we try to have the apartment, the new space set up so they could live there comfortably at the end of their move day. So we don't leave people with boxes to unpack on their own. We typically unpack everything, hang the pictures, make the bed to make sure it looks like home at the end of that move day, because the transition has been, you know, probably long and exhausting.
And Marianne, I think we've all had the thought sometimes we've got an item like, oh, I don't need it right now, but I might need it someday. And you encounter this sometimes, I imagine, people saying, okay, I don't need that in my space, but I need someplace to store it just in case I need it. How do we work past that?
Sure. And we try to really talk to our clients through that process by saying, you know, if you're, sometimes we accumulate extra, you know, couple extra coffee pots or extra, maybe 10 extra winter coats. And we really try to just zone in on, okay, who can use those items today? And so instead of kind of storing things indefinitely in boxes and closets, we really try to discuss who can use these items today. And actually, it does help the downsizing process to know you're sharing things with people who could use them right at this moment.
Joe, when somebody's starting to go through things, and maybe Marianne could tackle this too, is there a place or a room that you suggest starting in to start winnowing through those possessions?
Marianne, I'll let you start with that one.
That's more your side of things? Okay, Marianne.
Yeah, no problem. So basically, we try to start in a room that's less emotional. And so usually we'll choose a spare bedroom or maybe an area in the basement that they don't go to very often. And we just kind of start the process there. And we feel like once you go through that area and you have a clear, empty space, it kind of motivates you then to go through the rest of the house. So we actually encourage people to start. People gravitate, you know, starting with the kitchen or some area that they're in all the time. And we really just say it's much easier if you start into an area where you're not so emotionally tied to all the items. And it's much easier to let things go if you haven't, you know, used them on a daily basis.
And Joe, you mentioned that sometimes at your shop, you end up with kind of the provenance story, the story of the person who had this item and how they used that. And we mentioned how that can make the person getting rid of the items feel better about it. Is that something that really affects the people who buy it? They appreciate having that story behind the thing that they're buying.
Absolutely. I think that most of the people who do that very much appreciate it. And to be able to have the provenance, you know, even if it's a handwritten story, you know, oftentimes people looking for vintage things, when they're a collector, they're looking for the provenance as far as bills of sale and things like that. But 95-99% of the people looking want that emotional provenance like we're talking about. And it does it does affect it.
We're talking about downsizing, getting rid of stuff to maybe move into a new, smaller place, especially as we age. Our two experts stay with us, Mary Ann Garrity, president and owner of Moving Forward in Dane County, and Joe Fishman, owner of Empty the Nest in Minnesota. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been here, either moving yourself or working with maybe an older family member or friend who's going through this? What were some of the tough decisions you had to make, some of the obstacles you had to overcome along the way? Do you have some advice to share or maybe questions for our guests? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about downsizing to move into a smaller place. Maybe as we get older, kids move away, or we're seniors moving out of the home we've lived in for a while. Mary Ann Garrity is with us, president and owner of Moving Forward in Dane County, and Joe Fishman, owner of Empty the Nest in Minnesota. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been through this downsizing process, either for yourself or for a relative, a friend, family member? What kind of decisions did you have to make? What were some of the toughest decisions on getting rid of stuff, passing stuff on? Call in at 800-642-1234 with your own advice, your own questions. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Marianne, it makes me think maybe we should start early, not leave it for that, you know, couple weeks before we make that move. Has this experience changed your thought process on keeping and winnowing stuff?
Yeah, totally. Lots of times we'll do presentations to different groups around Madison here, and I always encourage people to downsize before you have to do it. So I would say 95% of the clients that call me, they're in rush mode. So something has happened, a fall or a death in the family, and then not only do they have to kind of start parting with their loved one's possessions and dealing with the move on their own, if, in the case where a spouse has died, that just makes the whole transition much harder. So we always encourage people to start doing it while your spouse is living and he goes through his things, you go through your things, and you just have these discussions much earlier in life.
And Joe, when your company is doing a clean out now, at literally getting everything out of the space and then, as you say, donating it or reselling it or things like that, what does that sorting process look like? It sounds like doing it for ourselves would be overwhelming. Doing it for somebody else would be just as overwhelming.
Well, actually, we find that it is easier for us than somebody doing it themselves because we don't have the emotional attachment. We've got a crew that will come in and, you know, somebody will take the kitchen, somebody will take the other rooms and start packing things up, putting them in boxes and moving them. And it's very much, I mean, it's, without the emotion there, it's literally a packing job and then a moving job. So we find in those instances, it goes much faster. Although there are instances where the owner sometimes is there, those jobs take a little bit longer because oftentimes we'll run across something that we're packing that they want to hold on to or whatever, and we'll have to work with them, like Marianne had said, that they do. You know, is this something you really need or is it something you need to let go?
And Joe, I read into this advice. I don't remember if it was something I read from one of you two or just randomly encountered the idea that, okay, maybe the person needs to look at that thing one more time, have that emotional connection, and then part with it intentionally. Like, do you have those moments where people just say, I need one more look and then I can move on from it?
Absolutely. And it was about 8 months ago that brings to mind a clean out of an elderly woman in her 80s, a house that she had lived in for 40 to 50 years. We were going through the final clean out and she wanted to go from room to room as we were packing them up. And our clean out specialist, you know, was working with her, and it was very much that process. Mm-hmm. Hold on to it and then intentionally let it go.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Kaylin is with us in Chisholm, Minnesota. Kaylin, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what'd you want to bring up, Kaylin?
Well, it's a personal question. I have traveled around the world, and I've saved or collected shot glasses, limoges, all that kind of stuff, and I know nobody wants them, but sadly, I don't either.
Yeah, okay, Kaylin.
I don't know what to do with it, you know, and I don't want to throw it away. Every shot glass was $10 to $15, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Kaylin, thanks for the call. Joe, when you have something like that, a collector's items, not everybody's going to want them, maybe the family members aren't going to want them, is it possible to find homes for that kind of thing?
Well, the interesting thing is I'd say yes. The sad part for somebody who is a collector like Kaylin was is that you get 5 to 10 cents on the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes that's a hard pill to swallow for somebody who has collected over time, you know, these things, and there is that emotional attachment. But there's absolutely a home for things like that.
Thanks for that call. And Marianne, when you're working with that client, and a lot of us have collections of shot glasses or machine tools or whatever it might be, what kind of decisions do people make if they want to keep at least a taste of that collection with them?
Sure. And maybe like somebody might want to keep one, you know, one item from a collection that they've cherished for many years. And, you know, usually we just say it's good to remember that you enjoyed the collection, but then it's okay to let it go once you've kind of moved on. And even though it's not going to bring the financial value and you kind of know what you spent on the item, we try to take that away from the equation. Say, you know, just try to forget about it. Somebody else will enjoy it, but it's not going to be worth the financial money that you paid for it. So we have that discussion a lot, actually.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go now to Verge in Door County. Verge, hello.
Hi. This is a great program. I've really enjoyed it. I'm an architect practicing up here, and I do a lot of work with people who are downsizing. And one of the things that I found to be extremely successful is if they can all manage to do this, if they can rent a place, a small place, for about 6 months, leave everything that they have in the home, and as I say, rent a smaller place for about 6 months, they begin to realize how they don't need much of the stuff that they have. And when they go back to their homes, then it's very, very easy to look at everything objectively rather than emotionally. It just gives that really helpful separation from the attachment to the things. And so if people are financially able to do that or logistically able to do that, I've found that that's a very helpful transition route to go.
Interesting, Verge. Thanks for the call. Marianne, I imagine, like, I could see, like, you know, replacing the rental space with a box in the basement for a while. And can I live without this for 6 months? And that sounds like an interesting experiment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it's fascinating. We have this little trick that we do when people are deciding what clothes to get rid of in the closet. We have them actually flip the hangers the opposite way than you normally hold, you know, hang your clothes on. And then you could see how often you actually use the clothes that come down off of the hanger. So we have little tricks like that to kind of help people realize what they're actually using versus what just kind of sits in your closet.
And now, speaking of storage spaces, Joe, I know a lot of Americans use them for their extra stuff. Do you end up cleaning out often not just a home, but also that, you know, that rental storage?
Yes, we do. We do get calls oftentimes from people who, you know, they spend whatever it is per month on the rental store, on the rental storage, and they haven't been in it for years. And they keep getting the monthly bill, and they say, we just want to be done with it. Clean it out. I don't want to pay the bill anymore. And so we do that.
Let's take one more caller before we're out of time. Karen is with us in Lake Geneva. Karen, hello.
Hi. I was wondering, I'm 50 years old, and I've kind of become the repository of all of the family photos. And so while it's not absolutely necessary for me to downsize right now, at some point that's going to come, and there's bins and bins, and I just feel guilty throwing those old photos away.
Marianne, do you have thoughts on photo management? That's going to be important for a lot of people.
Yeah, photos are really tough, actually. And so basically, we encourage people to kind of look at the ones, and actually you have to just let some of them go. So you kind of start again with the easier ones, maybe things of like landscape pictures, things like that, then let those go. And then the ones that you really like, it's really helpful again to go either scan them in and keep them electronically, and then you could let the pictures go and just have a copy on your computer. Or the other thing, some people just make memory books of the key pictures. But then really, if the family members, you know, pass on them too, there comes a point that you just have to kind of let them go. And it's a tough one. But lots of times you just can't keep boxes and boxes of pictures from different trips. So that is a hard one. So we just, you know, encourage people to keep the most special and then let the others go.
Thank you so much for that call. And I want to thank both of you. Marianne, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And Joe, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Marianne Garrity is the president and owner of Moving Forward, a company focused on helping seniors downsize. They're based in Dane County. Also with us, we heard Joe Fishman, owner of Empty the Nest. That's a Minnesota-based company that offers home cleanouts for people who are transitioning to new spaces for new stages in their lives. We've been talking about what happens when we downsize. It's a big chore, and there's a lot of emotion in it. You can still share your stories, by the way, and maybe your advice for other people in that situation if you've been through it. You can do that over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Coming up Monday here on Central Time, the author of a new book says farmland used to provide a good refuge for a lot of different kinds of wildlife, but that's changed for the worse over the years. Wisconsin has made efforts to boost broadband access to more parts of the state, but it's still lagging behind a lot of the country. We'll get the latest in the state and around the nation when it comes to bringing high-speed internet access to everyone. And we'll meet the creator of an app that aims to boost the visibility of Black-owned businesses in the Milwaukee area. That and more coming up Monday here on Central Time.